have you taken your spiritual temperature lately? Kind of segues right into it. But you know something? There's a lot of Christians, the temperatures in their spiritual life has cooled way down. And some of them don't even realize it. It's like the proverbial frog in the pan, right? You turn the water up, they don't know it's getting hot. The little guy doesn't know it's heating up and heating, you know, the temperature. Well, here it's cooling down in Christians' lives. There's many Christians, they're cooling down in their walk with the Lord, and they don't even realize it. They figure, because I walk into a church door and sit down and I hear a preacher mention Jesus once or twice, that I'm on fire for Jesus. You lost it if you are. If you're not out sharing your faith and living the life out into the world, that's where we're called to go. And you don't have an excitement and a joy to want to get out and get the message, you need to talk to the Lord. Amen? Amen? See, Jesus loves us. He's not looking around to beat us up and to tear us apart and to kick us out and saying, you're no good, I'm not going to use you. You're no good, I'm not going to. He doesn't do that. Jesus is wanting you and I to have a fire in our spirit. He wants us to make it. He wants us to make it all the way to heaven. But he wants us to make it with a fire in our hearts. And you know something, brothers and sisters? When we have our spiritual temperature has went way down and we think we're Christian, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing because we go to church or whatever once a week or once every other week, whatever it is, and you don't realize that as we're cooling down, we lose the faith, that faith that we need to be victorious in our life, to conquer the devil in our life. We don't realize it. Do you think the church today is walking in awesome power? Do you see it happening? The way that when you read the book of Acts, the way the church is operating there compared to what we're operating today? Man, I don't see it. And I tell you what, when our temperature cools way down in our walk with the Lord, we lose that desire, we lose that fire, we lose that belief and that expectation that God is going to do something great in our life, in the life of somebody else. And that's why we have to check out our spiritual temperature. Amen? Amen. Revelation 3, 14 and 20. Just another example before I read that. On television, Hollywood, the world, look at the shame that's out in front of our eyes now on television, in our homes. We turn them on. There's nudity right in our homes. They got this advertisement of a pregnant woman sitting there going through the clip of her 9-month and a speeded-up deal with her shirt lifting up like this and rubbing her pregnant belly. There's a time when there was women that had modesty. And it was a shameful thing. You covered up. You wore nice, loose dresses. Hey, there's a pregnant mom. But now it's like, hey, look at me, you know, and they're not even married. Yeah. And you know something, we sit on there, and Christians, we watch the same thing, and we don't think anything of it. Our temperature has cooled down. Our temperature has cooled down. Revelation 3, 14, 20 says, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire. Did you hear that? That thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame, the shame of thy nakedness, do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous before and therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know something? When you serve Jesus, when you're walking with Jesus, there's a price to pay. I said it last week. There's a price to pay when you're on fire for the Lord. You think the devil likes it when we're on fire for Jesus? Absolutely not. Because now we are a hotter weapon in his hand. We are able to defeat his kingdom, and he knows it. When our faith is way up here in the Lord and we're on fire, we're doing what God has called us to do. But I tell you what, he's not afraid of Christians who just want to come to church and sit in a pew and wait for some movie coming up on the screen, or everybody do some music with the lights flashing and the smoke coming out from the background. That's not serving Jesus. That's not exciting to me. I used to go to the Macamba Club when I was a teenager. They did it there. They had the flashing lights, the colored lights, and the gases coming out with the rock and roll music because it was entertainment. That's why I was there. It was so much fun sinning. But I tell you what, not today. It shouldn't be in the church. We need the Word of God. We have an enemy against us that is determined to take you and I out, especially if we call upon the name of Jesus. He wants us so cool in our temperature, we'll have no effect, because every single soul that you and I miss because we have no desire or love or care for another human being, Satan knows that'll be his soul. And that's why we keep our hearts on fire. We keep our temperature burning hot, like Sid Ross says in his programs, red hot for Jesus. That you'll burn with a desire to have more of the Lord. The song we sung this morning, are we hungry? Are we truly hungry for the Word of God? We should be burning with inside in order to want to go out into this world, that the temperature of our spiritual walk is so high that people will be scared to be around us. Huh? I like sitting in coffee break rooms sometimes when I'm all by myself because everybody left because I walked in. It's fun. You know why it's fun? I want to be accepted too, but I tell you why. Because they know I'm going to stand for what I believe, and they don't want to talk the way they're talking in front of a Christian that's on fire. And I'm not saying I'm Mr. On Fire all the time either. But I got to keep working like anybody else does in my spiritual walk too. Amen? The church at Laodicea was one of the two churches in the opening chapters of Revelation that were apparently unaware of their spiritual temperature. And the other was Ephesus. They didn't know that they were cooled way down, and they've lost that fire. Laodicea is a picture of a worldly church that has all the trappings of religion, but whose heart is clearly filled to the core with the world. And that's where we're at today. I believe that. They were neither cold nor hot. They were completely dead nor full of zeal, but indifferent and careless in their way and their walk with the Lord. They were mediocre Christians slumbering in their materialistic spiritual stupor. You could not tell them apart from anyone else in the world outside of their occasional church activities. And isn't that the way it is today? I mean, I know, I get around Christians that I don't even know they're Christian if I didn't know who they were sometimes if I meet them. And what's interesting, sometimes I get in the businesses and there's people I know from a church and I see them living like the world. I sit there, I'm amazed. And then I wonder why there's no power in the church today. I wonder why there's no witnessing today, because people can't witness when we're living like the world. How can we witness to a worldly person when we're just identical to them? Amen? There's no fire. The temperature has gone so far down. The presence of Jesus in our life is cooled down. It isn't because of Jesus. It's because of us. And no longer can we witness because we are just like the world, and they don't respect that. I told a person one time, he said, well, I witness when I'm sitting in the bar drinking. No, seriously, that's what he told me. He said, I witness, and I told him, then I said, you possibly may be drinking damnation onto yourself and maybe somebody else too that you're witnessing to. Because I said, if you're sitting there trying to tell a drunk that Jesus delivers you from booze and you're sitting there having a booze with him, I said, what is he thinking in his mind about you? You may be bringing damnation upon his soul even deeper than it was before. I tell you what, it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. The temperature of our spiritual life gets so cold that we can justify anything and everything in order to be like the world so that we don't feel rejected. Revelation chapter 3, 17 and 18. Amy probably didn't have that up there because that was an after fact this morning that I wanted to read. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. God wants us to be tried in fire, in our lives, that will go out and be an impact on a lost world. And he wants us to be anointed in his Holy Ghost power, that when we go out and we share the gospel, it will impact a lost and dying world. Amen? Amen. That there should be a fire. Our lives will be tried with fire, with the situations that come into our lives, the hard times, the illnesses, the financial setback, the sicknesses, the relational things, anything that comes into your and my life that the enemy would send in or God would permit to come in, is that we will become more like Jesus. That we will deal with those things according to the Word of God. The world will see those and say, I want to be like you. But we're so afraid we're going to turn the world away, because if somebody comes in here and they don't know Jesus and we start speaking in tongues, we might turn them off. That isn't what the Scriptures teach. You know, we stay being Christians. We don't be like the world to get the world in here. The world comes in here because, and for one thing, anyway, the world that does come in here, we want to give them the gospel, but our job is outside these walls. That's where it's at, out there. We take the gospel out there. This is where we come and disciple and grow in the things of the Lord, and when God sends people in here that need Jesus, they're going to hear the gospel. And we're sure not going to compromise the gospel just because they're sitting in here. Praise the Lord. Ephesus, on the other hand, was a church that was orthodox in doctrine, tenacious in defending the truth, and devoted to evangelism. Most of us would look at Ephesus and call it a healthy, vibrant church. Boy, you see, the Lord sees us in a whole different light than we see ourselves, huh? This is end-time churches, people. This is where I believe we're at today. Jesus sees different than we do. That's why we can't be bringing Jesus down to our level, because he's not us. He's not on our level. He wants us to come up to his level. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. However, it was a church that had lost its fire. They were doing the right things, but without realizing that they were just going through the motions in doing those things just because. That's the way you do it in a Christian church. That's why we get in the habit many times and we can say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It isn't because we even mean it sometimes, because it's become a habit for us, and that's the danger of it. That do we really mean it when we say, praise the Lord? Do we really mean it? Or are we just doing it because it becomes a Christian thing to do? We have to answer that in our own personal life. Revelation 2:4 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. How many in here remember when Jesus first saved you? Man, you were on fire for Jesus. You're excited. Amen? Man, you went around and you told everybody you knew about Jesus, your family. I mean, I got in so much hot water when I first got saved. And, you know, you're still getting hot water if you're still witnessing too. But I remember I got in trouble with my family. My brother got mad at me, and customers got mad at me, because I was on fire for Jesus and I wanted to let the world know that Jesus saved me from an eternal hell. And Jesus says, I like what he says here, that we lost our first love. And we should go back, and he tells us to remember from whence we came when you read in there, in the scripture. Remember where it happened. Where did you lose your first love at? You're to go back there and you're to repent. You know something? The teaching today in some churches teaches that you can never lose your salvation. If that's so, why is Jesus so concerned about this? Amen? Why does he have to keep warning the Christians about these things that will come into our life if we know that once we give our lives to Jesus? Just like this film, this Bible teacher was teaching Steve Hill's daughters. You can do anything. You won't lose your salvation. But that's contrary to what the Scriptures teach. See, both churches were unaware of their spiritual temperature. What about you? And don't raise your hands, but what about you? Are you concerned about the spiritual temperature in your life? Are you truly on fire for Jesus? And you can only answer, I want the Holy Spirit to move upon you right now. Holy Spirit, move upon the congregation, including me, Holy Spirit. Are we really on fire for Jesus? You need to answer that. You need to ask the Holy Spirit. You need to ask the Lord that right now. Lord, am I truly on fire for you? Am I truly a Christian that can change the world around me just by me professing and saying that I belong to you? Is my life such an impact to those around me that am I on fire for Jesus? Am I on fire for you? Lord, I'm doing this thing in my life, and I'm doing this thing in my life that I would be ashamed if you stood in front of me right now. So does that mean my temperature has cooled down, Jesus? Ouch. Amen? You got to answer that. And if you say, I don't really care, then you got to answer again, where is the spiritual temperature of my life right now? If you keep maintaining and doing the very things and nothing changes in your life, and you know you would be ashamed if Jesus stepped into your home or into your car or into your office or wherever you're at, and you're still doing the things of the world, and you say, I don't really care. I'm not hurting anybody. But you wouldn't do it in front of Jesus. Is your spiritual temperature cooled down? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Whew. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves. I like that one. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be a reprobate. I didn't write that. Jesus did. Who is to do the examining? Boy, it's quiet in here. Who's to do the proving that Jesus Christ is in you? Us, right? So that we not become Christless and rejected. That's a warning. That's a warning. If there was no chance of losing our salvation, why examine or prove ourselves if nothing matters anymore once you become a Christian? See, being a Christian takes work. Not working our way to heaven, but being a Christian takes work in our daily life and the decisions we make and our actions and the way we are, the way we think, and the way we're motivated in our life. It takes you and I personally to examine ourselves and make the right choices and conduct of life in order to walk out this Christian life, that we not get so cooled down in the temperature, our spiritual walk, that we don't realize that we're walking further and further away from Jesus. See, Jesus said he'd never leave us. He's still there. I'm getting further away from him. He's still there. He's not leaving. Jesus is still there, but see, I'm kind of giving in to the world a little bit because I want him to like me. I want the world to like me. Jesus is still there. But I can't sense Jesus like I used to, but boy, I'm a Christian. I go to church. Jesus is still there. He's still there. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. We're the ones that forsake him. And we do it in the way we live our lives sometimes. And that's the part you need to examine yourself. Are you close to Jesus? Do you want to get closer to Jesus? We need to get closer to Jesus, brothers and sisters, even more now than ever in the world we live. I tell you, deception is so subtle that you don't even know you're being deceived. And that's the scary part. That's why I can talk to somebody that I know is sitting in deception and they don't see it, they don't understand it, they don't discern it because they don't want to. Just like the ski patrol, don't go on that mountain, you might get in an avalanche. Oh, you joker, I'm smart enough to know what's happening out there. But you know, sometimes God sends people into our lives to direct us and to point us in the right direction if we're going the wrong direction. I brought up one time a message that a person was preaching, and it was preached to fulfill the agenda they wanted to do in the church. And the thing is, we don't do it to fulfill an agenda. We do it to encourage the saints. We preach what Jesus said point blank to our lives in order to grow in the things of Jesus. And we have to keep our hearts on fire. I tell you, when a church cools down, it is worthless. Oh, it may be fun. It may be full of activity. It may be big. But I tell you what, if Jesus isn't there, it's a waste of your time. It's a waste of time. I don't care how big they get. I tell you what, I want to draw closer to Jesus in the day we live. Because brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, what you're listening to or whatever, but I'm hearing more and more pastors and evangelists preaching on the coming of Jesus and world events that are happening so fast, weekly now. Weekly. Even the sinkholes. How many read the sinkholes last week? Huh? They're happening around the world. I tell you what, I mean, could you imagine? You did, I bet that guy didn't realize he was going into eternity in Florida, sleeping in his bed in his bedroom, buried alive in a sinkhole. And then the one that just opened up in Guatemala looks like it does has no bottom to it. Huge, 30-foot crater. And everything else is happening in the world. Where is our spiritual temperature when Jesus comes back? Jesus says, when I come back, will I find faith? And that's why you and I need to strive to draw close to Jesus. Amen? I want to keep saying this in the middle of my messages because I know my messages are maybe a little heavier, but I want to tell you, Jesus loves us. But I heard a local Lutheran pastor say this week on the radio, he said, we've been hearing too much of the love of Jesus, and he can't just preach love of Jesus all the time. It negates who Jesus really is because he's also a coming king and a judge. And Jesus himself warned continually over and over throughout Scripture because, brothers and sisters, you and I are leaky vessels. Right. We need to be kicked in the pants ever so often to get back on track, don't we? And if Jesus did it, there's a reason he did it, because he knows us very well. So I'm going to just take a few minutes to cover a few things to see what our spiritual temperature is. Psalms 24, verses 3 and 4, examine your hands. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in the holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. See, this should be the character of God's people. Clean hands and a pure heart. And when I read that, at the moment I read it, I was thinking, how many times, and again, I'm pointing fingers at myself too. What are my hands doing? What are they turning on? What are my eyes watching because my hands turned a button on? What's my internet doing when I'm using my hands to do this? You can throw that in, but that's part of what my hands doing too. What are your hands doing? Are they reaching for eternal treasure or are they grabbing for gaudy gadgets? Psalms 26:6, I will wash my hands in innocency, so I will compass thine altar, O Lord. See, do you need help today? Lift up your hands to the Lord in supplication and expectation, and soon you will lift up your hands in jubilation and celebration. Amen? Reach to Jesus all the time for help. And I tell you what, when you are close to Jesus again, when you are giving your hands and dedicating your hands to Jesus and everything that you do and say, you're going to have jubilation and celebration in your spirit, and your temperature is going to be hot. You're going to have a love for Jesus. Unfortunately, many people fail to keep their hands clean. Their evil hands sometimes do dirty work that hurts you and me. When that happens, you can trust God to take care of evil hands. God wants you and I to keep our hands clean. Amen. We can only do that through fully trusting in the cross and what Jesus did on that cross. Amen? Amen. Quote. Here's a quote from Warren Wiersbe. Look to God, lift your hands to Him, and let His hand work for you. Amen? I like that. Yeah. I like that. Not only are your hands clean, but are they busy doing God's work? Are they being used to be a blessing to others, or are they idle hands? Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Amen to that one. Once we're dead, it's done. You had your opportunity. This life is a one-time pathway through, and that's why we do everything we can for the glory of God. Amen? Amen? Don't we do that for Jesus, for what He did for us? We have one shot in this life, One shot. I heard one pastor use this very scripture in a derogatory way from his pulpit about a sexual thing. And I could not believe it. I could not believe it. But I tell you what, we're living in dangerous times. Dangerous times. See, this is always good advice. We should do our best at any task, whether for God or for man, so that we represent Jesus in all that we do. Amen? Whatever you find your hands doing. Proverbs 3:27 says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 and 8, if there be among you a poor man, a one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. It's good, isn't it? Sounds like the New Testament church in Acts when nobody had need. Everybody gave, sold what they had and gave to everybody who had need. Next, examine your feet. Someone has asked, where are your feet going? Are they headed for heaven's shores or are they stuck in earth's swamps? And today, you know, there's Christians that they got their feet stuck in the earth's swamps and they're muddling around in the mud with the world and trying to justify it because the temperature of their spiritual life is so cooled down, they don't think there's anything wrong with what they're doing. But you need the power of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God, to get into your soul to show you what's right and what's wrong when you read the Word of God, and not try to justify it in yourself, because at the judgment day, yourself isn't going to mean beans. This is how God is going to judge Lynn Beekman right here. That's why I don't have anything that I ask the Lord, help me not to justify anything in my life that I like doing because I like doing it. But does Jesus like me doing it? That's the one I'm concerned about, because that's who's going to judge me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Proverbs 4, 26, 27. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. God's word said that. Remove your foot from evil. See, these feet belong to Jesus too. Put your hands up like this, please. Look at your hands now. Just look at them. Say, Jesus, you made my hands. These are your hands. Let me use them for your glory. Now put both your feet up in it. No. These feet belong to Jesus. Blessed are the feet that bring good news. Our Christians bring it. If in your life you're taking your feet and you're taking yourself and other people and using your feet to go into the world, the swamp of the world, you have to ask yourself, where is my spiritual temperature of my walk with Jesus? Amen? Amen. You have to ask, Lord, are these feet bringing good news to somebody today? Are my feet, when they see me coming, are those people coming to me? Oh, they may be convicted that I'm coming because they know that I serve Jesus and talk about Jesus. But are my feet going to encourage them that? Or am I going to go to them and sit and stand and listen to their dirty jokes and listen to other things that they want to do and go with them in a place that's questionable where I may shouldn't be as a Christian? What are my feet? Where are they taking me for the glory of God? Amen? I like keep saying amen because I know you're on the same page with me. When it gets down to one amen, then I know it's just me. I like what Forrest Gump said. You can tell a lot about a person by their shoes. The direction of your feet will determine the direction of your heart. Did you know that? Where are your feet taking you? Before we came to Jesus, the Bible says we were walking according to the course of this world. After we come to Jesus, we're supposed to walk a different path. Not that great big wide one. Don't get on that path with your feet, but that little narrow one. That's the different path. See, when you're in the course of the world, it's this great big one out there. And much of the church is on that great big one, and they're confused, and they're lost, and their spiritual temperature is so low they don't even know. This got to be a popular way because there's so many people on this road. What a great road to be. But I don't feel God. I don't sense God. There's no power in my life, but I don't want this person and that person to dislike me. But this seems like the right road to go. Because their temperature is so low, they can't hear the Holy Spirit guiding and directing anymore, that God tells us to be on a narrow road. It's not a popular road. It's a hard road. It's a hard road because it's narrow, but it's the right one to be walking on because it's the one that will impact you for all eternity, and Jesus knows it, and the devil knows it too. Where are your feet going? 1 John 1:6-7 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise the Lord for the blood of Jesus. And I tell you what, Jesus only walks in the light. That's where we need to be walking. It is but a short step from walking with the world to living like the world. Did you know that? Proverbs 6:18 says, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Why do you think we're seeing Christian people on the news networks, sports figures, Hollywood, that claim the name of Jesus, and their feet are running to mischief? Their spiritual temperature is very cool. Very cool. Psalms 119:101 says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep thy word. I like that. Amen. See, this is how Jesus walked in wisdom. That's how he walked in wisdom. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Verses 101 and 104, refraining from every evil way. Obedience to God's word, absolute adherence to God's justice and judgments, instruction from God, love and delight in truth, hating every false way. Did you hear that? Hating every false way. Psalms 1, verses 1 and 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat, in the seat of the scornful. You see how important your feet are too? Our hands are so vitally important for the kingdom of God. Our feet are so important for the kingdom of God. But when our spiritual temperature is so low, they're being used the wrong way, and we don't even know it. Next is our eyes. What are you giving your eyes to? What are you feeding on? What is your faith spiritual diet? Whatever we watch, listen to, or to read is what we are feeding on. How many are watching programs? And I said this before, and I'm going to keep saying it again. And if you get mad at me, that's okay, because I believe the Holy Ghost wants to convict your and my heart that we stay on track in the days we live. We are watching too much R-rated junk on television and DVDs we bring into our home, and we're listening to the Word of God and His name being abused and stomped on and mushed up on and filthed up on through these movies, and we don't care. Because our temperature is so spiritually low that we've come to adapt to it, that it doesn't bother us anymore. And so we become like the world, and we don't even know it. People, Jesus loves us. He isn't sitting there waiting to take a big bat and beat you over the head when we do these things. He's letting you be you. He gave you a will, me a will, and He wants us to use our will for His glory, to make the right decisions. And if we see ourselves cooled down, then we need to make the steps to put them back the way they belong, according to what this says right here. Amen? So what are we watching with these eyes? What are we looking at? The internet, magazines, pictures. Boy, it's hard to even drive down the highway anymore, some of these big billboards, isn't it? Sometimes you need the Holy Ghost to almost grab your head and turn it, especially for guys. But women aren't exempt anymore either. I heard a survey that women are getting so much into pornography like guys are, it's unbelievable. It's happening. And it's got a lot to do with the internet. It's got a lot to do with TV. But the biggest thing it's got to do with is you and I as Christians. Because God gave you and I a will, and we still have the power to turn away from those things. What we see here and allow to enter into our life will influence our heart. See, if you and I do, especially the dads, if you are not the dad of your home, Satan will be. And if you're a single mom in here and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, Satan will take over and rule your home, your children. What is in our heart will influence our behavior. What we do is a result of what we have allowed into our lives. See, I've talked to fellow brothers in Christ in the past when we had fellowship, and I could tell where their hearts were just by the conversation we were having. How they would veer into certain areas that I don't think Christians should be. And that's how you can usually tell what people are focused on and watching and thinking about more. Psalms 101:3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I don't know about you, but I'm getting more and more. If I hear, even on TV, if I hear God's name in vain, I shut that program off right now. Maybe a really good, nice storyline to it, but I don't know why they got to put the Lord's name in there, but as soon as they do, the TV goes off from that program. Won't do it. Because I hate it. To hear the Lord that died on Calvary's cross for me, for all my sins, and if I permit that to come into my home and my ears and my eyes, what kind of a Christian am I? I'm a Christian who's allowed my spiritual temperature to come so low that I don't care. That's okay once in a while. I need the Holy Spirit to help me to do that. Am I perfect all the time? Absolutely not. I'd be a liar if I stood here and told you that. I need the Holy Ghost to convict my heart as much as anybody else. And see, actually, this is another reference to 101:3 is another reference to backsliders. Turning aside means that one time they were on the right road, but left it to follow sin and Satan. That's what it's talking about there. What are you setting before your eyes? What images are you embedding in your mind? Whose examples are you seeking to imitate? See, that's the danger, too. A lot of people aren't aware that every time you and I look at something that's not good to be looking at, that's contrary to God would want us to look at, becomes like our eyes are like cameras. It takes a picture, and it stays in there. And at your best moment in church, when it seems like you're really getting with the Lord, and all of a sudden, boom, Satan brings that movie picture back to you. And then you have to deal with that and say, God, help me. I knew a young guy I worked with for several weeks at another church when I was in the recovery ministry, and that was his biggest thing. He says, I can't get these pictures out of my mind. He'd stand there and he'd weep in front of me. He says, I can't get rid of them. But they don't realize Satan doesn't tell you the dangers of the things that he gets you trapped into and what you and I choose to do with our life. We have to be careful. Psalms 119:37 says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. What is catching your eye and distracting you from the true beauty of unity with Christ? Brother and sister, I tell you what, I'm going to say it again. If you and I can just get a smidgen, a better smidgen than what we got, of how great our Jesus is, we'll walk away from anything. But we're too busy trying to be like the world sometimes. And sometimes we become indifferent, like Ephesus. We've lost our first love and we don't care. And when we don't care, we're losing the greatest thing that we have in this earth, and that's Jesus. And the greatest fellowship, if you're lonely, if you're hurting, if you feel empty inside and separated from everything, Jesus said he will come and fill you and he'll be with you. But you'll never experience that if we have that no desire. We have to allow God to heat that temperature of our spiritual life back up. And that comes through listening to the right thing, reading the right thing, and looking at the right thing. And this is where it happens. And I tell you what, when he starts to fire you up, your family's going to know it. The people at work are going to know it. The people in school will know it. When your heart's on fire for Jesus, your neighborhood's going to know it. And I tell you what, if they run from you, don't think that's awful. Think that's great, because that's a testimony. Because eventually they'll run to you when trouble comes their way. But give them something to run to. Psalms 25:15 says, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." I love that one. It is the Lord that can keep us out of the net, and it's the Lord who will pull us out of the net and the sins of entanglement of this world. It's the Lord that does that. Does it affect you when you see others who have no desire to follow Christ? When you see somebody and you know they're a Christian, but they have no desire? Does that affect you? It does me. It does me. Psalms 119:136 says, "Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law." Can you see Jesus mourning with floods of tears because men made void the Father's law? You think Jesus weeps over his people when he sees us the way we are, when we're, our spiritual temper's so low we don't care, and we're you just blend in with the world? You think that hurts his heart for all he did on Calvary's cross, what he had gone through, and he saved us, and then we go back to the pig pen? Rivers of waters run down my eyes. This is God's word, by the way. Rivers of water, they flood down his face because they keep not thy law. Examine your ears, your next one. There are many voices in our society all calling out for us to listen to them. Do you listen to them? Do they shape your life? Are we listening to the voice of the world or the voice of God? And that's an important one today too, isn't it? Because there's many voices out there grabbing for our attention, even within the church, and there's many things that are being said that are not from God. Even though it's a different Jesus they're preaching, people don't know it because their spiritual temperature has gotten so down that they discern no longer what's being said. They just accept anything and all things. And if you can't find it in here, and it's the truth. See, Jesus preached on sin, judgment, hell, heaven, born again. All those things Jesus preached on. Many of those things you won't hear. And if you do, they'll be put in a different context to go with the agenda to make the world feel comfortable. And see, it's this what makes the world feel uncomfortable when they come into a full gospel church that's preaching the word. We never apologize for that, do we? Jeremiah 44:5-16 says, verses 5 and 16 says, "But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us," verse 16, "as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee." They refused it. This was the remnant coming out of Egypt, and they refused it. Can you believe that? Their answer, "We will not hearken unto you." That's while they're being directed by a prophet of God. And they said, "We're not going to hearken unto you." That's the way it is today. That's where we're at today. We're not going to hearken unto you. We want what we want, and we want it now. I like this stuff. Ooh. You know, my daughter's little dog, he's got the little black one there. Sometimes when you scratch his little ears, his head goes. I don't know if he's smiling like I am now, but anyway, yeah, you do that, and he wants you to do it more and more and more because it feels so good. And that's the sad part. The church is, our temperature is so low, we don't want to hear hard things anymore. We only want to hear soft things. But you want to know something? I learned in life sometimes it's the hard things that make me grow the more than the soft things. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts." That's why there'll be no excuses in heaven. "But after their own lusts there shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." See, they have ears that itch for the smooth and the comfortable word and reward anyone willing to compromise to speak it. Hearers of this type have rejected the truth and prefer to hear the lie. Those are the ones that get on that big, great, big, broad road. To what are you listening? To what kind of music are you listening? What kind of programs? What kind of videos are you looking at? And what kind of programs are you listening to? I'm amazed at some of the stuff even Christians will listen to. Is it something that will make your soul just yearn for Jesus and it'll cry out as the words are going in? Or is it something that just gets the beat going and gets you revved up? What are you listening to? Could Jesus be sitting beside you as you look at the internet or listen to the music or programs you're listening or watching? Could he actually be sitting there with you while you're looking at these things and doing your computer, and you feel comfortable with it? If not, then your temperature, your spiritual temperature, is way down here. Proverbs 8:34 says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors." Isn't that good wisdom from Proverbs? I'm going to read that one again. "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors." That's wisdom from Proverbs if we choose to listen to it. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You can't hear Jesus' voice as easy when you're way over here, can you? Huh? You can't hear him. You can hear the shout of the world, and you can become like the world, but you don't hear Jesus because you got further away from him. But I tell you what, when you're close to Jesus, you can hear him when he'll whisper to you. That's when your temperature is getting where it belongs. When you draw near to Jesus, Jesus draws near to you. See, Jesus is the head of the church. Do you remember what Steve Hill said? He said, "We're living in a time where we're worshiping man. Preachers, evangelists, whomever, we're worshiping man more than Jesus. We're more concerned about how good is that preacher, that evangelist, than about Jesus." And I tell you what, you can have some old country preacher that maybe he's got 10 people in his church, but he's faithful to God's word and he lived the life with the best of his ability, and that's all God gave him for a church, but he was faithful to the end. That's the preacher I want to follow. That's the truth. I'm not a man worshiper. I'm a Jesus worshiper. And I tell you what, I don't care about the charismatic people that think they're so wonderful, and you go to a church because of a man, you're going for the very wrong reasons. Right. Did you know that? You need to go where Jesus is being preached. That's where you need to go, because that man is a sinner just like you and I. Just like what they call the Holy Father, the Pope, he's not the Holy Father. Our Father is the Holy Father. Right. The Pope is a man who is born a sinner just like me. Yeah. So I don't kiss him and worship him. He's a man. He can be a brother if he knows Jesus, but that's all he is on this earth. Right. That's all he is. Jesus is the Holy Father. Yeah. He is. He's the one I worship. How many still think you're with me yet? Thank you. I'm just, you know, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 23:12. "Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge." And that knowledge, by the way, comes by hearing the word of God. That's where it comes from. And then the next one here, and I'm getting pretty close to done here. Now, how many know how your ears are important now, too? We know our hands and our feet, right? And our eyes, now our ears, are vitally important to serving Jesus, aren't they? How about our mouth? One of the most straightforward statements Jesus ever made was directed to the Pharisees. He said in Mark 7:18-23, "And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever things from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Jesus said that, not me. He wrote it. He's pretty wise, isn't he? Pretty wise. When the heart is corrupt, the life and conduct will be corrupt. When the heart is clean, the life will be clean and the fruit good. It is easy to tell where a person's spiritual life is just by what they say. I listen to what people say. I like to listen to them, because you can tell a lot even in a conversation where people live their life. They don't know it, because, see, their spiritual temperature is so low, they don't even know what they're saying to you. But when somebody's got low temperature and you have a conversation with them, you can tell. And I don't sit that to condemn those people either, because I can go there too. Been there. My job is to help bring their spiritual temperature up to where it belongs, if mine's where it belongs. That's my responsibility. It's your responsibility, amen? We don't condemn. Ecclesiastes 5:6 says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel, that was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? You ever hear anybody use God's name in vain and says, oh, excuse me? Oh, I didn't mean to say that. Job 27:4, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. I like Job because he held his integrity right to the end. Even when his wife said to him, curse God and die, he held his integrity. You know, a brother, he said he hit his hand real hard and he used God's name in vain. And he said, man, that really hurt. And I said, but why did you use God's name in vain? God didn't do that. You did it. And he didn't even realize he said it. You know why? Because it comes out of the heart. That's where it comes from. I used to swear not use God's name in vain when I get hurt too. Now when I do that, I ask the Holy Spirit, help me not to do that. Now, you know, one time I hit my knee real bad and I jumped up. I went, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! I actually felt better doing that too, you know what? Use the right words. I meant it too. I praise the Lord, Ned. Thank you for pain, Lord. I hurt that knee. Ephesians 4:29-30 says, this is the word of God. I did not write this myself. I did not make this up, okay? It's out of Ephesians 4:29-30. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Lord told us to only corrupt stuff. That's how God changes us when you and I read the Word. The Holy Spirit helps us not to allow corrupt stuff coming out of our mouth. Now, I understand when people get saved, there's a growth period there. We got to allow the Lord to do the cleaning, don't we? And some take longer than others, so we don't judge and we don't condemn. But I tell you what, if you've been living for Jesus for any length of time, brothers and sisters, there should be no corrupt communication coming out of your mouth. Should be holiness. We should be preaching and talking like Jesus and encouraging people that it ministers to them. And I tell you what, nothing is greater when you're talking to somebody and when you get done with the conversation, you said, you know something, I really enjoyed talking with you. You really encouraged my heart today. I was down today and a little depressed, and just talking to you made me feel better. Well, I didn't take credit for that. That was the Holy Spirit working through me because I learned not to be negative in my talk, not put things down, not to be a complainer. But when I converse with the world, I ask the Lord to help me always what they're saying. Like I was talking the other day, last Thursday, to a couple guys over in Little Canada at a shop, and they were complaining about world events. And it was two of the old co-owners sitting there. And when they got done, they were talking about all the changes in the world and everything, and I just simply said to them before I walked out, I said, can I say this to you, whether you agree with me or not? I said, I put my trust in the Lord because the Bible says He changes not. And they said, that's right. And they busted out laughing. That's right. That's right. And it really did something for them, got them away from that negativity, but I was able to get a little bit of a witness into them anyway. Next time I go in, maybe I can pursue it more. But I tell you what, we as Christians need to minister to people. Meaning, no useless, putrid, obscene words. Our words should always build up, not tear down. They should always build up and not tear down. Then we will not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Can it be that the average person spends 1/5 of his or her life talking? That's what they say anyway. I don't know if that's true. It's been said if all of our words were put into print, the result would be this. A single day's words would fill a 50-page book, while a year's time, the average person's words would fill 132 books of 200 pages each. Whew. You got some reading to do. Just think, and just think if God is recording all these words. Would we be surprised if we would read what was written in our books if we went back to them, huh? Isaiah 54 says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. See, Jesus only spoke the words which were given him to by the Heavenly Father. Jesus said, what I hear the Father say is what I say. This is what we need to tell people. When we're in conversations with the world, we need to tell them what the book says. We need to listen for the Holy Spirit to open a door to witness and share the gospel with them in a positive way. And you don't need to be scared to do that. You can always just ask him a question. Can I respond to that? And then allow the Holy Spirit to use your life. Psalms 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Wow. My strength and my redeemer. When they're constant in the word of God, Psalms 71:8 says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. No room for other junk, is there? If you always got a heart that says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making me walk past that terrible looking thing. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for avoiding me to have a bad accident. I praise you, Lord, for protecting me. Amen. Examine your hearts, lastly. So how many know that this mouth is very important to the use of the Lord? Examine your heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Again, this could be a reason for unanswered prayer in our lives. If we pretend that we to be what we are not, if we pretend to be what we are not, and if we love iniquity while we profess to pray and be sorry for our sin. I know Christians do that. Brothers, sisters, if we still love sin, we need to tell the Lord about it and ask him to help us to get it out of our hearts. Because there's Christians that still love sin. And we're going to be left without help if we allow it to stay in there. Because God does not, he says, if we got regard iniquity in our hearts, he's not going to hear us. Psalms 48 says, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. A gentleman by the name of Kent Crockett says, when he first enrolled in seminary, he found an apartment room next to a railroad crossing. He wondered why the apartment rent was so cheap and found out the first night he was there. A train came through in the middle of the night, blasting its horn. It didn't just wake him up, but also nearly gave him a heart attack. Every night when the train came through, it blew the horn. At first, I thought about changing apartments, but then I started getting used to the nightly awakening. I would wake up for a few seconds and go right back to sleep. Eventually, I got where the train horn didn't even wake me up. I hardened my heart to the train and couldn't hear it anymore. The same hardening process occurs when God speaks to our hearts when we don't respond. Eventually, we stop hearing his voice because our hearts have become hard. Did you know that? Every time you sit in a service and you hear the word of God being preached and the Holy Spirit says to you, this is you, you need to address this in your life, and you don't, your heart becomes hardened that the next time you hear it, you won't hear it quite as loud anymore because you've already refused it. That's a danger. Hebrews 4:7 says, again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Did you hear that? Today. Today. Not tomorrow. Not this afternoon. Today. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you today, right now, you need to respond to it. The Holy Spirit said today, at present, referring to the fact that tomorrow may be too late. And there's people that tomorrow was too late in their lives for all eternity. My question to finish, how's your heart today? How's your heart today? Have you taken your spiritual temperature lately? You have to answer that question. And I'm just going to read through this very short thing that I took off the internet from Don't Play Church. and it's between the early believers and Christianity today. It says, willing to sell everything they had for the gospel. The first column is early believers. The second one is Christianity today. The first one, again, willing to sell everything they had for the gospel. Christianity, buy a nice house in the suburbs, SUV, and go to the social club called church. Early believers, beaten, whipped, murdered, deprived, imprisoned for the advance of the gospel. Christianity stays in cozy church building, holding events, hoping people will come. Early believers taught sound doctrine, studied to show self approved unto God. Christianity, watered down messages that have nothing to do with Scripture. Early believers, believers diligent to learn all the Scripture. Christianity, so-called believers that know of a few verses that tickle their fancy. Early believers willing to pick up the cross. Christianity, not willing to do anything. Early believers, light to the world, lived a set-apart life, acted as living example. Christianity wants to blend in and be and do everything that pagans do. Early believers about others. Christianity about me, 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 me. Last one. Early believers, genuine love for others. Christianity put on a phony show. That's the difference between the early church that this site, Don't Play Church, says. It's got some good stuff on it, but it makes you think anyway. And I know that doesn't put all churches in there, but it does some. Let's all stand, please. Praise the Lord. You still love me. Let's see this.
Amen.
I love you. Okay, okay. Not, I almost got 100%. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to say it again. Jesus loves each and every person in this building. There's no one exempt from that love. There's no one that Jesus loves more or less than another. He loves us all equally. Isn't that great to have a Jesus like that?
Yeah.
The Jesus of the Bible, the one who died on the cross. And I'm going to just say this with every head bowed. Please, out of respect for just allow the Holy Spirit to move in hearts. The message I had today is very important, I believe, in the day we live, because spiritual lives are so low and the witness is not where it belongs, and we need to be fired up as a church, don't we?
Yes.
Is there anybody in here that would raise their hand with me and say, Pastor Lynn, my heart, my spiritual walk has been real low temperature. Be honest with the Holy Spirit. Let's just do it. My hand's already up there. I walk through those times of my life, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to probably do it again. I don't want to. I'm going to ask the Lord not to let me do it, but you know something? Let the Holy Spirit move in your life right now. Let's all pray together here. But first off, I want to say this. If there's anybody in here, if I missed anybody, and you've never made a total commitment to Jesus Christ, and you don't, if you died today, you wouldn't even know where you'd go. You just say, well, I'd probably go to heaven because the scale shows that my good things were better than my bad things. Well, that is not in Scripture. Jesus said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, and the wages of sin is death. If you don't know that you would go to heaven, you don't know it, it's vitally important that you respond today and right now, that you would raise your hand right now and say, I want to give my life to Jesus or recommit my life because I haven't been where I belong as a Christian. I want to always give that opportunity. This might be your last chance. I know people were in churches that didn't respond and they went out and got killed. Or they died. That's why Jesus said, now is the day of salvation. Let's all pray together here, and I want you to say it in your heart and repeat it after me, but I want you to believe it in your heart because it isn't my prayer that does the work. It's the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, say it out loud like we really mean it to the God. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask right now that the fire of your Holy Spirit will come upon me and move within me and put a new vibrant spirit in me, a zeal to serve you, to live for you, to love you, to witness for you, to be like you. Let the Holy Spirit start something new in me. as I apply your word to my life. Help me to share you, Lord, with a lost world. And I thank you, Jesus. And I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, I pray over everyone here today. Lord, I pray a hand of protection upon them. I pray, Father, that precious blood. For you said in your word that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. I pray over every person in here, that precious blood right now over their lives. I pray that you move them by your Holy Spirit to be used for your glory this week. I pray you bless their homes financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. And do a work in our lives, Lord. Let us be a church that's on fire. Be a church that's on fire, that cross fire, that the name truly means something, that we point people to the cross by the fire of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And have a blessed day and fellowship. Praise the Lord. I still love you. Go in peace.